Hey, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where every week we tackle big questions from a spiritual perspective. I'm Carlos Machado, and with me today is Catherine DeJocas from Mississauga, Ontario, in Canada. Catherine, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, Carlos. It's just thrilling to be here. I'm so glad you asked me to join you.
Absolutely. It's thrilling to have you with me. And we're going to be talking about the topic of limitations, and specifically using our spiritual growth to get over the things that limit us. And as I started thinking about the topic, there are so many limitations we face every single day, whether it's something the world puts on us or culture puts on us or we put on ourselves. And I'm excited to get into the topic. I'm wondering, how did you become interested in talking about this?
Several years ago, during the pandemic, I was taking a walk through a local cemetery, and I glanced at one of the headstones, noticing that the age inscribed on it was very close to my own. But I consoled myself with the thought that longevity runs in my family, so I didn't really need to be that concerned. And suddenly, I heard a little angel message from God affirming, immortality runs in my family.
Yeah, interesting.
Such a comforting rebuke. It was God's assurance to me that despite the human picture, the real life of man never runs out. It runs immortally with endless existence. It's not an inherited gift from human ancestors, as I was thinking. It was a spiritual fact for everybody. We can look at our parents and think, oh, I'm in for a great life because of, you know, what they seem to possess humanly and materially, or it can go the other way and think, oh, I'm in for a really rough ride because of these are the different things that my ancestors have had to contend with. And naturally, I'm going to fall into that bracket as well. So it freed me from that belief. Well, I've been in the public school system for almost 40 years, and it was a second career for me. So I'm old enough to be the grandmother of new teacher hires, and frankly, a great grandmother to new students entering the school system. And right around this time of the experience that I just shared with you, I started to get comments from kids when I would walk into a class, because I go to quite a few schools, and they would say, are you a grandma? And then it transitioned to, you look old. And then one really funny little guy in kindergarten said, you look at least 20. And I had to ask myself, how old am I? What am I mentally going to claim is my age? And here's where the practicality of those statements come in. If our life runs immortally because God is our life, then I don't have an age. I have to live from an ageless perspective. And I can say, when I look at my life, I took up TAP when I was middle-aged. When I was pushing senior citizen age, I took up Irish hard shoe dancing, something I always wanted to do. And my teacher at that time said to me, the world championships for Irish dancing are coming up. You should consider, you know, pursuing it. Well, the pandemic hit, and so that didn't happen. But the fact was that somebody felt I was strong enough, good enough, and had the ability and an advanced age to do Irish hard shoe dance at an international level shows that we can put off limitations. I kayak, I hike, I'm very active, I'm still working. Another example that I can give you is, as people go along in their life, sometimes they find that they're facing aging disabilities or aging physical problems that have to be addressed. And I remember at one point I was walking down this a set of stairs to go to the basement, and all of a sudden I felt something pop in my calf. And I thought, oh no, like here it is. Simple tasks all of a sudden become a big deal. So I was very concerned, and I called a Christian Science practitioner, and that's somebody who Christian scientists will reach out to for healing if they're confronted with all kinds of problems, relationship problems, physical problems, mental health problems. In this case, for me, it was a physical problem. And when I spoke to her on the phone, she assured me of my spirituality, that I wasn't material, that I was ageless, that I was free. And this was on a Friday night. By Sunday evening, I was perfectly free from that.
And so you had a complete healing within a few days.
I had a complete healing within a few days. And in fact, it just vanished from my thought. And then I was in the bathroom at one point getting ready to have a shower. And I looked at the back of my leg a few days later. My leg was black from my heel up to my knee. I didn't realize that I had this bruise, but it showed that there had been something. It was perfectly healed. And within a day, that all faded away as well.
Mm, that's really wonderful, Catherine. I had a conversation recently with somebody who was telling me that they've been thinking a lot about how much the human mind can do. But I was also thinking about, I was reading the Christian Science Bible lesson that week, which is the collection of Bible stories and passages from the Christian Science textbook, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. And in that, there was a story of Jesus facing a storm in a boat, and he basically spoke to the storm, and the storm itself just calmed. And what I was thinking is, maybe the brain is capable of more than we think, but the brain can't do that. And as I was listening to your story, I'm wondering, what is it that's actually happening there in your thought that's having an effect that's beyond just what the brain can do, or just, you know, human thought making itself feel better?
A citation from Psalms comes to mind here, and I'll read it for you. It says, "Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." And when I read that, I see that healing comes from throwing your weight, not in your own mind and what your own mind can do, because you will find limitations there, but by putting your entire weight on God. It's God that defends us. It's God who is our life. It is God who is our divinely natural ancestor, our DNA. And he equips us with our divinely natural attributes, our unique DNA, spiritually speaking. And when we do that, we release ourselves from somehow having to conjure up a healing, and we let God be our healer. A Christian Science friend always assured me that joy is paramount to healing. And our joy comes from knowing that it's God who's equipping us. It's God who's providing everything that we need, including our well-being. And when we put our trust in him, we rejoice. We have hope. And for me, that's where it comes from. I turn to God and I see, what is he? What is he doing? If he is all and if he is everywhere, as the Bible assures us that he is, then I have to trust that he's doing his job. I'll give you another example. And this is not something I've spoken too much about. I had a full healing of debilitating depression. It started when I was 18, and I would have bouts of depression that were very difficult to rise above, just like in the book of Luke when Jesus met a woman that needed healing. And the Bible describes her as having had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. Whenever I read that, I would think, well, I feel like that woman. My human mind is not equipped to deal with this. I need something beyond what I appear to be. And this went on for some time, and it was before I found Christian Science. And after I found Christian Science, I remember talking to a Christian Science practitioner about this situation. And I remember him assuring me that there was a life going on beyond what I could see. And I couldn't understand that at all. I had no idea what he was referring to.
Yeah.
Now, I understand what he means, that the life was God.
Mm.
If God is the only life, he's the only mind. He's the only doer. And he is doing that for me. Right where there seems to be a mortal bent over it that cannot lift themselves up, there's something very different going on. And he assured me also from the book of Revelations that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that did become the case. I was totally healed of those bouts of depression through Christian Science treatment, and it has never returned.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And I've had to go through some very difficult situations where that was tested, you know, because initially I was always looking over my shoulder to see, you know, is this going to return? But I've gone through some very difficult life challenges. And like Paul writes in the Bible, none of these things move me, that my joy has not been compromised. It can't be limited by the factors of life that this human picture and circumstances that we're faced with. It can't rob us of our joy.
Hearing you tell that story, it really reminds me of Jesus promised his disciples a different kind of life, an eternal life. And he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And to me, from my study of Christian Science, I don't think that just means more of the same type of life with problems forever, but a different type of thing altogether. It is so tied to joy, like you're saying, you know, like joy is such an expression of life. And Jesus promised, you know, life and more abundantly. And you know, just listening to your story just makes me think about that abundance of life right here and right now. And I'm wondering if you could speak just a little bit about, in your experience studying Christian Science, you know, working through life challenges, what does life mean for you?
I think life for me is a continual demonstration that God is on the playing field, that he's there. He's there for me. He has my back. Even in the worst of circumstances, he's there and he's sustaining me. It doesn't mean we won't have challenges. Jesus said, you know, I have overcome the world, but he still had to confront the world. He didn't make the world disappear. But for me, you see more and more how God is equipping us with whatever the qualities are that we need to overcome the circumstances that we're faced with. You know, during those pandemic years, which were very difficult for many people, much like the situation we're having right now, you know, in our world events, so much mortality. In addition to that pandemic, you know, I lost my father. We were involved in a protracted legal dispute. We had chronic unemployment. And yet, it didn't move me. It didn't tip me, because I could turn to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I could turn to the Bible. I could go right to God and listen for what he was telling me at every stage of those events and be somehow girded, I guess that's the word. I felt strengthened and armed to go through those experiences.
Mm.
Not to avoid them, but to face them and do what was needed to do, but with a strength and a certain amount of poise and an undiminished joy and good humor through it all.
One of the things that I've noticed just with friends and family that can really seem to take joy away is dealing with some sort of outcome of an accident or disease. And I'm wondering if you have any other physical healings that you can share so we can think about really the fact that it's unlimited, how much we can be freed from through a spiritual practice and spiritual growth.
I do have a bit of a funny situation that I faced a number of years ago. I had done something to strain my back, and I was really laid up. Again, I was like that woman bowed together, although this time not mentally, but physically. I couldn't straighten. But I was still trying to keep everything going for my family. And I went down to make lunch. And I should mention at this point that I had called a Christian Science practitioner, and she was praying for me to see my true spirituality and my true being. And because I had been so laid up, I hadn't been able to really shop. All we had I could find to pull together a lunch was a couple of wieners and some slices of bread. So not wanting to spend more time in the kitchen than I actually had to, I threw the wieners on a plate, threw them into the microwave. When they came out, I put them in their full form between the two pieces of bread and put it on a plate in front of them. And my family just looked at this odd meal and then looked at me and asked, like, what was this? And I said, it was a wiener sandwich. And we all broke up into peals of laughter. And that was the end of the problem. That humor broke the mesmerism in my thinking that had been weighing me down and bending me over. It was like I just snapped right out of it mentally. And that was it. That was the end of the back problem. And so I look back on this and remembering that my teacher reminding us that joy is paramount, mm-hmm. and that humor can break the mesmeric thinking of the downward pull of mortal circumstances, whether they be physical or other.
I love that story, Catherine. It makes me think of, there's a reminiscence of Mary Baker Eddy, you know, the founder of Christian Science. She's speaking with Clara Shannon, who was one of her students who's talking here. She wrote, she explained to me that when you speak the truth to anyone, if the truth you speak causes him to laugh, cry, or get angry, you have reached the thought that needed correction. And I found that to be true in my practice of Christian Science, that when you're in the middle of a challenge that you're dealing with, kind of in the thick of it, it can feel so physical and it can feel so real. And for me, that process of healing has been almost exactly what you described. There's at some point a mental shift, and I can sort of see my way out of it mentally, for lack of better words. I don't know how to put that better, but it's almost like the darkness of thought starts to be filled with light, and then it no longer seems like a physical challenge. It no longer seems like a real thing that I have to deal with, but something that I can just kind of leave behind.
That's true. And sometimes it comes suddenly, and sometimes it's a slower period of growth. At least that's what I have found. The wiener experience, it was sudden. I mean, I had been bent over for a few days, but when the healing came, it was sudden. Others are more like the dawn, dawning in our thought. And I've had both kinds of experiences.
Yeah. Catherine, I want to get back to, you said you heard this message from God when you were walking through that cemetery. Immortality runs in my family. And it seems so clear to me that you took that on and you were able to own that message for yourself. I'm wondering, for somebody who feels like, I don't really have a religious practice, or I don't really feel like I'm part of God's family, I'm not sure if this applies to me, where might they start to just claim this for themselves and find the type of freedom that you found in so many situations?
I think if you were starting right at the beginning of a journey like this, Even just taking a moment to sit quietly in a chair for 5 minutes and just listen. And when you hear a positive thought of any kind, no matter how simple, that is God speaking directly to you. That's Him affirming that He's there for you, that there is a child-parent relationship there.
Mm.
And He provides us with every right thought that we need.
If I may ask, how did you find your way into the practice of Christian Science?
Well, I have a little article about this in a recent Christian Science Sentinel, but I found it through a vocal coach. I was doing some acting at the time, and I was put in touch with a voice actor who was now transitioning into doing vocal coaching. And I just loved everything about this man, his poise, his calmness, his kindness. And I just felt he had something that I wanted. I just didn't know what it was. And I used to go to these sessions, these vocal sessions, and I would end up crying. This is really when I was still struggling with depression. And finally, I just asked him, like, what is it that you do that makes you so calm and so comforting and poised? And he said it was his religion. And I said, well, what is your religion? And he said it was Christian Science. And I wasn't looking for a religion. As much as I had not really kept in touch with my own religion, I wasn't looking for a new one. But then I found myself asking if he had any religious information about this, any pamphlets or books. And he gave me a Sentinel, a journal, and then a copy of the Christian Science textbook. And after he gave them to me, I thought, well, I don't even want these books. I don't even know why I asked for them. But now he'd given them to me, and I felt I couldn't go back to my next vocal class without at least having made a stab at, you know, looking at some of this literature.
Yeah.
But he told me to start with the Sentinel and then the journal and then the textbook. And so that's what I did. And he pointed out that there were healings in the backs of each of these magazines. And so that's where I started with. I wanted to see, you know, what was the practical effect of Christian Science in the lives of these people. And after I started, well, I couldn't put it down. I was just blown away. And one of the things that really struck me, going back to the question you asked me, if someone who doesn't know anything about Christian Science, where would they start?
Yeah.
Mrs. Eddy writes in her book, your body would suffer no more from tension or wounds than the trunk of a tree which you gash or the electrical wire which you stretch were it not for mortal mind. And I remember as a child having that question, like, why if I go and kick a tree, does it not feel pain? And so it was almost like the information was new, but it was old. It was familiar. And so for me, it almost validated what I had felt as a child but couldn't articulate. And so I really just continued with it after that, fully embracing it to the best of my ability. But it was a slow process for me. I had to outgrow a lot of the world's ways and means. You know, Mrs. Eddy talks about some people embrace it quickly and run with it. Other people, you know, move slowly and yield not to discouragement. And I think I was of that latter variety.
I think I'm right there, you know, with you.
Yeah. I had a lot to outgrow and grow into. Yeah, you know, you're putting off and putting on simultaneously, as yeah. Ball writes.
Yeah. Catherine, I've really enjoyed our conversation here. Is there anything else that you would want to leave our listeners with?
Since we're on the topic of joy, and there seems to be such a loss of joy in the world today for many people, Mrs. Eddy has given us the doctrine of Christian Science in her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. One particular point of note is this, that joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy. In this, we see that joy has dominion. She's telling us that. Mrs. Eddy also assures us that man is not a pendulum swinging between evil and good, joy and sorrow, sickness and health, life and death. but that sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth, and love. Your joy is inherent. You can't be robbed of it. And that puts a smile on my face right now.
Yeah, it's putting a smile on mine as well. Catherine DeJocas is a Christian Scientist from Mississauga, Ontario in Canada. And Catherine, thank you so much for joining us here on Sentinel Watch.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you for having me.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Carlos Machado. The podcast is produced by me, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. See you next week.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.